Now with this week's edition of Living Opera, here is Alan Wagner.
Had he lived, Jussi Björling would have become 50 years old last week. At his tragic and untimely death, he was singing as well as, and perhaps better than at any time in his career. We've had ample proof on Living Opera in recent weeks. His Verdi Requiem, Pinkerton in Madama Butterfly, and Calaf in Turandot were all stunning, and all served to make more poignant his passing. Fortunately, the great Swedish tenor left a large legacy of recordings dating from the beginning of his public life, almost 30 years ago. Many of these have become collector's items, and in their original 78 RPM form, are almost unavailable. Now, thanks to the diligence and the excellent engineering of Capitol Records, some of these precious sides, ranging in date from 1936 to 1948, have been released on LP for the first time. The name of this album is The Beloved Björling, Volume 1, capital G7239, and if it is indeed Volume 1, two more are planned. If you haven't already bought this LP, you should. It's indispensable to any collection of the vocal art. This is not a tribute, not a memorial. This is a living voice. This is the greatest tenor of our time. Well, we'll hear six or eight of the arias in this new album this morning, and a little later, I'll replay for you the tape of an interview with Mr. Björling that I first broadcast not too many months before his death. He was, I think you'll find, as charming a man as he was a superlative artist. We'll also hear a few other non-Björling recordings, including a few of real brilliance. Now from Björling as artist to a glimpse of Björling as a man. This interview was recorded in his hotel suite on remote equipment, which accounts perhaps for the somewhat less than perfect sound. The tape is one-eyed treasure. I hope you'll enjoy rehearing it. I'm particularly privileged to have as my guest this morning the man many people consider to be the very greatest tenor in the world, Mr. Jussi Björling. Mr. Björling, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Björling, you've had quite a successful fall this year, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I've been very successful.
Well, where were you singing?
In San Francisco and Chicago.
What were some of your roles?
Manrico and Trovatore, Bohème, Rigoletto, and Radamés in Aida.
Is this the first time you sung Radamés here in this country?
In this country, yes.
But you have sung it in Europe?
Yes, since 1933.
Well, this brings up some questions. You're also known for some of the more lyric roles, like Rudolfo and Bohème, or Romeo, and here Radamés is one of the heaviest of the dramatic roles. How would you characterize your voice? Is it a lyric voice or a dramatic voice?
Well, I object a little bit when you say that it's the heaviest of all the dramatic roles. It's not so. It's for that the Radamés is not a dramatic part. It's a spinto part, and it's a lyric passage that is for a dramatic tenor, but I tell you, it would be very difficult to sing.
I see. That's a very interesting point. Well, then you consider your voice a spinto voice?
Yes.
If you had your preference, generally speaking, if you could pick your own repertoire at any given season, what were the two or three roles you'd most like to sing?
Well, one of my favorite roles is Romeo, and Romeo and Juliet, and Bohème, and Manon Lescaut, the Grieving Manon Lescaut, and I like to sing very much Radamés in Aida.
We've been playing a number of your records on Living Opera, and of course today we're featuring your voice. What are some of your future recording plans?
Well, we plan to do Faust and Balonmasca and Romeo and Juliet and Otello.
Wonderful, wonderful, Otello.
Yeah, well, recording, I say recording.
I see.
I'm not that spinto, you know.
Do you have any other recording plans besides the ones we mentioned?
Well, it's going to be continuing, you know, but not right now. Well, I have, as a matter of fact, two Wagnerian parts. It's Lohengrin and Meistersinger.
Again, for recording only?
Yes.
I've heard rumors that you're going to be recording the Verdi Requiem sometime soon. Is that true?
That's right.
Oh, who's going to be in it with you?
Renata Tibaldi will take the soprano part, and Giorgio Tozzi is the bass.
Do you know who's going to conduct?
Yes, the Sir Thomas Beecham.
That should be a recording to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about your concert schedule in the next few months, Mr. Björling? Where do you go from here?
I have some TVs in Stockholm and in London, and then I have a concert tour in Germany, and then I come back here again in February, March, and April for 20 recitals around the country.
I know you'd be doing a recital at Hunter College.
That's right.
Is this the only time New Yorkers will get a chance to hear you?
Well, this spring, yes.
That's what I meant, this coming
yes,
season.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard rumors, I don't know if they're true or not, that you were offered the tenor part in Bellini's Il Pirata, which the American Opera Society is going to be doing with Maria Callas. Is that true?
That's right. But unfortunately, I cannot do it. I have not the time.
May I say, I'm dreadfully sorry to hear that.
Well, so am I.
That's a marvelous role. It was written for Rubini, I understand.
Yes, that's true.
By the way, just in passing, did you know that you held the Metropolitan record for the most curtain calls?
Yes, I've heard about it.
I just found out last week that in a performance of Tosca, you and Madame Tebaldi on February 27th, 1956, you took 28 curtain calls.
yes, that's true.
What about Metropolitan Career, Mr. Bjorling? When did you make your debut there?
Well, I never forget that. That was Thanksgiving Day, 1938.
Well, how come you remember that so clearly?
Oh, it was a blizzard. There was no taxis around, and the subway was blocked and everything. So I had to walk from my hotel at 59th Street at Central Park, way down to the 39th Street.
And then sing a performance.
That's right.
What was the role?
That's for Rodolfo in Bohème.
Is this a role perhaps you sung more often than most other? I remember hearing you in it very often.
I sang Rodolfo quite a bit, yes. Close to 300.
Mr. Bjorling, when was your first operatic debut, the first leading role you sang anywhere in the world?
It was in 1930 at the Royal Opera in Stockholm.
You were very young then, weren't you?
19 years.
That's very young indeed.
Well, I had 1 year in opera school, you know. In Europe, you know, it's, you have to make three major debuts before you can call yourself an opera star, opera singer, rather.
That's very interesting. How do you mean?
I made three. The first one was Don Ottavio and Don Giovanni, and then Arnoldo in Wilhelm Tell, and Alma Viva in The Barber of Seville.
Well, that leads me to another question. There must be a number of roles in your repertoire which you haven't sung here. By the way, how many roles do you say you have in your repertoire, all told?
All together?
Yeah.
Well, between 75 and 80.
Well, of these 75 or 80, there must be quite a few you haven't sung here in the United States. I know of a few. There's Vasco da Gama in L'Africaine, for example.
Yes, I sang that.
In Europe?
In Stockholm, yes.
How about The Girl of Golden West? You never sang that here?
Yes, no, not here. I sang it in Stockholm.
All right, let me see. I think a few others that you haven't sung here. Floristan, Fidelio.
Oh, yes.
And on the Viva you just mentioned. And how about Nemorino? You didn't sing this here, did you?
Not here, but in Europe many times.
Well, how about some roles you haven't sung anywhere in the world? Are there any of these roles that you'd like to add to your repertoire now?
Yes, I would like to see Andrea Chenier, Don José, Carmen.
Uh-huh. There's one I'd like to suggest. I know you do the Des Grieux in Manon Lescaut very beautifully. How about the Des Grieux in Massenet's Manon?
Well, yes, I would like to do that, too.
If I could just mention that here. I have a recording of you singing Alfrouille du Cinéma.
Well, you know, if I were going to do everything I want to do and the public want me to do, the rest I would do I'm finished. I would have to rehearse all those things, you know, and learn all the things.
I know it'll be hard for you, it'll be marvelous for us. Here's a question that perhaps might be a little bit of a curveball, Mr. Bjorling. Who are some of your favorite performers, some of your favorite singers?
Well, that's difficult to say because I have so many favorites. But I sang a lot with Sinka Milanova at the Met, you know, from my very beginning here, and she's always been very nice to sing with, and one of the best sopranos I know. In the later years, I have been singing some with Tebaldi. She's a very wonderful artist, and of course, for 2-3 years ago, I sang with Callas, and she's wonderful too. I have so many favorites. I'm sorry if I don't mention them all, but...
Well, how about among the men?
I can tell you my first experience, but some great singers. This was in Stockholm. Some years ago, I sang quite a few times with Fyodor Shalyapin.
Must be a very exciting experience.
Yes, it was, really.
How about some of those who are singing now?
Well, there are wonderful singers like Leonard Warren, and Robert Merrill, and then Bastianini, to mention a few. And there are some very nice colleagues of mine. that I haven't sung together with, but we are very good friends, and I like them very much, and that's Jan Pierce, Richard Tucker. There's a new tenor at the Met. His name is Bergonzi. He's excellent.
Let me take one of the roles now with which you're becoming more and more identified, Radames in Aida. Do you find this character particularly difficult to portray from an acting standpoint? Do you find it kind of silly walking around in short skirts?
I have not thought about that, because you walk around in so many different costumes at the opera stage, you know, so you almost always you feel silly going around like that.
Well, how about chances for a concert, then, in which you'll be wearing full dress and perhaps feeling a little bit more comfortable?
Well, that's my usually working clothes, you know, the full dress.
Well, is there a chance, perhaps, if New York is getting to hear you in a concert like that marvelous one you did last season?
I hope so.
There have been rumors going around that there might be a chance for a joint concert, perhaps with you and Madame Tibaldi, or you and Eileen Farrell with a full orchestra. Is there any possibility of this coming to be?
I would love to do that, but so far, it is news to me.
What would you say is your favorite encore aria, the one that perhaps is most requested by audiences, or the one you most like to sing at the end of a recital?
Well, that's difficult to say, but I would say Amor ti vieta, Giordano's...
From Fedora.
Fedora. Uh-huh.
Marvelous, marvelous thing. Mr. Buehling, may I say thank you very much for taking the time of being with us this morning.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be with you, and may I wish you a very... Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir, and to you too.
Thanks.
A poignant reminder of what a graceful gentleman the late, great Jussi Buehling was.